Hi there, welcome along to the Sweet Spot. It's a US Masters special. We've been gone too long, but we're back. It's me, Bruce Millington, and Steve Palmer taking you through all the best bets for a November treat. Obviously, COVID put paid to the Masters in its usual April slot, but they've rescued it. And so instead of azaleas, I'm sure we'll have all sorts of other different plants. But the main thing is the world's best golfers are converging on Augusta, and it should be an absolute blockbuster. It starts on Thursday, runs through to Sunday. Steve will bring us all his best bets for the outright market. He'll give us his best long shots, and hopefully we'll be able to tease out a top Korean or a top left-hander or a debutant or something from him. We might even discuss the winning score. I put a request out for some questions earlier on Twitter, and the response has been brilliant, so we'll rattle through as many of those as we can. First of all, though, Steve, how are your optimism levels as we approach the big week?
My optimism levels are very high. Yeah, I'm really excited by the Masters. My favourite tournament of the year. It's the best tournament for punters by a long way. You've got a limited field, very easy to whittle down to a short list. And then the bookmakers are just throwing these amazing each-way turns at you. So this is the tournament that we've all been waiting for. It's the tournament to get stuck into.
Okay, just a very quick look at what happened last week. We had that very weird event in Cyprus, didn't we, where the qualifiers for the final day all started off level par. It was about 25-1 the field going into it, and one of the joint favourites, Robert McIntyre, won. Now, I don't think there's too much to say about that, but the Houston Open, we saw a return to form of Dustin Johnson. But, Steve, he got picked on the line by yet another outsider. This tournament's thrown up so many three-figure winners, and this time it's Carlos Ortiz who got the job done.
Yes, the Houston Open's a very exciting finish, actually. It was a lot closer than the two-shot margin suggests, because Ortiz really rattled that last birdie part of the hole, and it went in. It had that had gone by, it would have had a real knee-knocker to avoid a playoff with Dustin Johnson and Hideki Matsuyama. So, yeah, well done, Carlos Ortiz. He held it together well there.
But interesting to see DJ, after a return, after an absence via COVID, come back and look so good.
Yeah, it was important for Dustin. And yeah, he's very slow out the blocks, as you'd expect after that break. I mean, he spent 11 days in a room in quarantine. It was, you know, he did have quite a serious bout of COVID there. And, you know, he needed that run, and the final three rounds really, really good. So, he'd be very, very content. As would Brooks Koepka also. He finished with a pair of 65s. So the Houston Open was a lovely run for Johnson and Koepka.
You could do 11 days in a room quite easily, couldn't you? You hate humans, don't you?
Yeah. He spent 11 days just watching films and box sets, he said. But yeah, you expect him to be lacking sharpness after that. And in round one, he did. But he really got it going again. So yeah, Dustin, obviously a big runner this week.
Okay, on to this week. Let's get a look at the betting so you can familiarise yourselves with the makeup of the field. I suppose we've got a big seven, Steve. Is that fair to say, really?
Yeah, I suppose that is fair to say, yeah. I mean, you've got, three players at single figures at the moment. John Rahm's getting well back, so and then a few just below that. So, yeah, all of us. It's a great tournament. I can't stress that enough. This is the moment to take your chance. Great tournament.
And Steve, before we get your tips, just how much different is a November Masters likely to be? I noticed there's a ton of rain forecast for the early part of the week. Then it should be okay. Temperatures actually reasonably similar to what you'd expect in April, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. The temperature thing, everyone's expecting it to be cooler conditions, the ball not going as far. We've got an unseasonably warm Georgia November, so that's not a factor. Temperature's no different, but yeah, loads of rain. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, heavy rain. We could get a stop start Thursday, a lot of thunder in the air, and then it clears from Friday onwards. So it's going to be playing extremely long, very, very soft long fairways. McIlroy, when he played there, talked about how there's a lot of patches of Bermuda in the fairways, very soft fairways already, even without the rain. So, it's a big hitter's paradise, normally even more so this time.
Well, I mean, that the Bruce Millington Masters preview would last 10 seconds. Bryson DeChambeau hitting it ridiculously long way will just overpower the course like he did at Wingfoot and will win by six shots. I don't think you see it that way, though, Steve, do you?
No, before you find out
who you do fancy, this tournament, to me, and you look at the betting, he's the focus of all market attention, isn't he, Bryson DeChambeau? Yeah. Are you with or against?
I'm against. I think the hype machine is out of control. I think you're contributing to the hype machine there, Bruce. I think he can. I think he could flop. I think everyone's getting overexcited about one tournament. I mean, his advantage in the US Open was that he could run the ball onto those greens from the rough. He's so strong that the rough, it wasn't a factor for him. Augusta, it's all about flying the ball in the air. You've got to take the aerial route normally over water. And his approach play stats are poor. His strokes gained approach on the PGA Tour last season, 119th for strokes gained approach on the PGA Tour last season. I can't trust him to these tiny targets. It's all about approach.
Yeah, but hang on, Steve. That was before he'd eaten all that spinach and turned himself into this weightlifter. He's a different person now, isn't he? I mean,
he's all right with the driving. Yeah, that's helping him with the driving, but he's clumsy on approach. He put a wedge in his hand. You can't trust him. Everyone getting excited about where he's going to hit it on the 13th. He's going to take advantage of the fact there's no patrons and blast it over the trees on the right there. He still have a wedge in his hand. If we chunk it into the water, his approach play is poor, and his putting, I think, which has been reasonably solid lately, will suffer at Augusta as well. His previous visits to Augusta, his putting has been terrible. Like, his putting statistics and his three previous visits to Augusta are terrible, and there could be a reason why. These green reading books that he so relies on now, he's the scientist. He loves getting stuck into his green reading book and taking half an hour over a 5-foot putt. He can't do that now because they ban him at Augusta. They don't let you use them. So I think his putting will suffer. I can't trust him on his approach play. And the way the market is and the way everyone, you know, straight away we're talking about him. We're talking about him as if he's the world number one. He's the world number six. Last year, coming into this tournament, Bruce. Sorry, I will stop talking eventually. Last year,
keep going.
Guess who the world number six was coming into the last Masters?
Tommy Fleetwood.
It was Bryson DeChambeau, and we weren't talking about him at all. He finished 29th. He's the world number six this year. I mean, people are forgetting how badly he's played around that US Open. Can I take you through a few of his figures?
Please
from
do.
Recently? It's not like he's suddenly changed and he's dominant every week. He missed the cut in the Memorial by two shots in July. He finished 30th of 78 in the St. Jude Invitational at the start of August. Missed the cut by three shots in the Northern Trust at the end of August. 50th of 69 in the BMW Championship. Only four players scored worse than him in the Tour Championship in September. He tied 8th in a very low-grade weak Shriners Open last time out. So five of his last eight performances have been terrible. And everyone's just blinkered on Wingfoot. Okay, it was fantastic what he did at Wingfoot, but I think it was that his tactics were different to everyone else, and he got it spot on, and he said, right, the rough's not an issue, I'm strong enough to get out of it. This is a different course, and yeah, he's not the world number one, and he never, you know, I don't think he ever will be the world. Well, I flip-flop it a lot, but I don't think he's going to dominate the sport. Everyone's getting very carried away, I think.
I'm worried, Steve. I hope you're right, but I just don't like this the guy balking up, smashing it 400 yards, because if that becomes the norm, everyone's going to have to do it, and it's just going to become a completely different sport. I mean...
No, I hear you, but there's not that big a gap between where he's hitting it and Cameron Champ and Rory McIlroy and Dustin Johnson. It's not that much of an advantage, but I think the fact there's no patrons will help him this week.
There's no rough there, is there? I mean, you can basically just smash it.
Out. Just think the price now is rubbish.
Okay. Well, I just take the view that 9-1 says that if you play 10 of these tournaments, he'd win one. I certainly think that because of the way he's smashing it so far, that he would. I'm going to take my chances. To be honest, it's partly an insurance because I can't stand him. And I'd just be so sickened. If he won by six shots, can you imagine how you'd feel if you hadn't backed him? So it's
absolutely.
Emotional hedge, really, which isn't really a very sensible way to bet, but that's the way I'm going about it.
It's not going to be enjoyable, is it, to see that happen? But don't you think he's now almost contractually obliged to take driver off every hole, really attack it? Like, you know, everyone's talking about his game plan. It's the storyline of this Masters. You know, if he gets up on the tee and takes a 3-wood here, and everyone's going to boo. Well, nobody there to boo his, but you know, he knows what everyone's talking about. He's going to be putting on a show, really, rather than trying to focus on the scorecard. I don't know. I think there's enough doubts. Yeah, the approach play is the key at Augusta, and he's not good at approach play. Simple as that.
Okay, you've got four tips for us, Steve. I think you basically got, you know, to take the countdown approach, two from the bottom row and a couple from the slightly more exotic end of the market, haven't you? Who is your main man this week?
My main man is Rory McIlroy, who is nearly always the main man when you come to this tournament. He's 14-1 chance, so he's 6 points bigger than Bryson DeChambeau. He is loving the fact that everyone's talking about Bryson DeChambeau. McIlroy's talked about the lack of noise around this tournament. He can go quietly about his business and complete the career Grand Slam Yeah, will Bryson DeChambeau ever complete the career Grand Slam? I don't think so. So McIlroy is in a great frame of mind. This tournament, he got no spectators. He's had no big media commitments. There's no par three event this year. It's a 2T start. I think he's just going to sneak the green jacket for the first time. And, you know, he's playing under less pressure this week. And the April Masters weren't working. I think McIlroy's pleased that there's a November Masters. He's had five top tens in the April Masters, but no green jacket. And the setup this week, we talked about the weather. Rain's coming down, a soggy turf, perfect for McIlroy. He's a mudlark. We all remember the 2011 US Open, his first major. He won that by 8 shots on soft terrain. He loves soft terrain, and it's windless skies as well.
Why does he like soft terrain? Is it that he can just smash it down there and it won't run off into dangerous areas, yeah?
He carries the ball so far. Like, he carries the ball in the air so far with his drives, and the shape of Augusta fits him well as well. He loves to hit the right to left draw off the tee, so... Yeah, the setup at Augusta is fine. I mean, you know, it couldn't be better. And yeah, the greens have got the sub-air system, so the fact he hits those towering iron shots will still be very important coming into to greens. It'll be fairly dry despite the rain. And last time out in the Zozo, love what I saw. You know, Augusta set up for birdies, and he made 29 birdies in the Zozo Championship last time out. I think McIlroy's just going to outgun them this week with birdies. And I know you're a huge fan of the nappy factor. The icing on the cake is the nappy factor, Bruce. I know you can't get enough of that. I mean, this is Poppy McIlroy's first golf tournament, the first golf tournament she's attending. This is the first Masters McIlroy's played in his 30s. He was 29 in his last Masters. First time, first Masters as a father. I think the stars have aligned for Rory McIlroy to win the Masters. And 14-1, what a juicy price that is.
Let me interrogate that slightly, Steve, with a couple of questions. Does he have the self-belief and does he have the dedication? And I'm not trying to besmirch him there because, you know, he's been absolutely superb and he's just completely brilliant. But by his own admission, golf isn't the number one thing in his life. And he's made tens of millions of pounds. You know, I think he's happy in his life. I'm not sure that he's got that raging desire to get the job done anymore, is he?
He's got the work ethic. Him and Justin Thomas are renowned for being range rats. You know, he may have a swing that looks a bit sort of loose and natural, but he does put the hours in and the desire's there. I mean, he's not going to die a happy man if he doesn't complete the career Grand Slam, is he? I mean, he's to be that close to it from 2015 onwards. He just needed this Masters to complete it. I think motivation. If you're suggesting he's lacking motivation for this week, you're one of them. He's desperate to get this job done. And he's, you know, he's several reconnaissance missions to, he's played 27 holes at the end of October at Augusta. You know, that's why I've ruled out Koepka and Johnson, because they were sort of desperately trying to find form last week. McIlroy's just resting back in Florida. He's already done his reconnaissance missions at Augusta. I don't have any doubts about McIlroy. I think the time's okay. Come
honestly, I mean, you're renowned for dressing up as your favorite sports stars. I mean, whoever you back in the Football World Cup, you're always wearing their top, aren't you? When you back Van Gerwen, you're always wearing your lime green top. Have you got a piece of Rory McIlroy clothing? If he's contending on Sunday night, you'll be wearing.
That's a good question. No, I'm not sure I have, you know.
You used to wear the Tiger Woods red, didn't you?
I've got a Royal Dublin jumper that I wore. I played a round of golf with Rory McIlroy and many moons ago, and I bought a Royal Dublin jumper when I was there. So maybe I should put that one on.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So Rory number one. Who's your other one from the fancied septet that you're going to go with this week?
Yeah, I think this is a Rory McIlroy versus Justin Thomas final round thrilling duel on Sunday. So you've got three players above him in the betting. They're the two just below. Yeah, Justin Thomas again made for Augusta, power on tap. His approach play stats are just awesome. I mean, you do well to find a player with more impressive strokes gained on approach stats consistently than Justin Thomas. He's got progressive Masters form figures, 39, 22, 17, 12. And in those previous four visits, his greens and regulation statistics are amazing. He's carried a cold putter all the way through that. So if we can get a half decent week of putting from Thomas, I think he'll contend. Since lockdown, he won the WGC in Memphis. He's finished second three times, including the Tour Championship. Last time out in the Zozo, finished second. And like McIlroy, I didn't mention it, they've both got great records at this time of the year. The fact they're switching to November is great. They both got good autumn records. Four of Thomas's 13 PGA Tour victories have come in late October or early November. So, yeah, I can't get away from McIlroy and Thomas. There's plenty of juice in the price for each way bets. I know some people don't like going each way bets at 12s, 14s. But, you know, with so many places on offer, you have an each way bet on those guys. I think you're going to get a great run for your money with a lovely security blanket for the place.
Yeah, I mean, Steve, some bookmakers this week, there's only 92 in the field. And if you take the Sandy Lyles and the Larry Mizes out, there's probably 85 that have got any chance. You're getting 11 places. It's incredible, isn't it?
This is why I get so excited by this tournament. It's an absolute gift. I mean, my shortlist is 12 players. I can only see 12, maybe 14 at a push who can win it. So, you know, you're getting 11 places with some firms. You know, I can back every possible winner, I feel.
Okay, well... Not quite that simple, but we'll get to your thoughts on some of the other leading market contenders shortly. But first, give us your two longer shots that you think could contend this week.
Sure. I'm going with four in total. And I think debutants this year, I used to normally rule out the debutants, but I think the fact we switched from April to November and there's no spectators, it's an odd year. I think this is a chance for the first timers to make an impression. I've got two that I like at big prices. It's Cameron Champ and Jason Cockrack. I mean, Cameron Champ, all the talk about Bryson DeChambeau, Champ is the second longest driver on the PGA Tour. And last season, he was only 0.1 yard behind DeChambeau for driving distance. The gap's widened since, but not enough for it to be a factor for me. Anything DeChambeau can do to Augusta, Cameron Champ can do it too. And last time out in the Zozo, he finished eighth. Lovely warm-up event. He's only 25. He's already won two PGA Tour titles. I think Champ's got huge potential. I think he's already good enough to win majors. He's inconsistent, but I think if he has a good week, he could stun a few people here. So Cameron Champ. And then the other one is Jason Cockrack, another powerful attacking player. And I think he'll fall in love with Augusta. He's putting better than he ever has. He finished first for putting in the CJ Cup when he won his maiden PGA Tour title a month ago. He finished first for putting and first for greens and regulation. I mean, that was...
He was a bit clumsy around the dance floors before, wasn't he? Didn't he have a reputation of just being a bit elephantine with his putting?
Yes, I'll never forget the Valspar. Remember the Valspar? He just needed to make a par in the Valspar and we were on at fancy prices and very clumsy bogey. He's changed. You get that monkey off your back of the first win. You know, it's only a month ago. He's riding the crest of a wave here. I can see Cockrack hanging around the leaderboard. And his caddy's a fantastic green reader. And, you know, the fact they're taking the green reading books away, he relies on his caddy a lot. He just says, you know, his caddy's just a genius green reader of all accounts. He credited him for winning the CJ Cup. So the green reading books are out. Get your
ace. Can you tell me a little more about the green reading book? Because I didn't even know these things existed. I thought you just sort of held your putter up like that and...
Well, that's how it
should
be.
Seconds, and then away you go.
You're a purist living in what I think should be the beautiful world of no green reading books. They're an absolute disgrace. You know, green reading book came in a few years ago, and they've got all the details of the humps and the hollows, and you might not see a little break from there, but it'll tell you about it in there, and then you work from there, and the scientist and the majority of players, to be fair, have now resorted to it, but.
Presumably, but if you remove it, does it mean they'll be spending even longer lining up putts? Because I honestly think that if DeChambeau's contending, there's two things that are going to drive people mad about him. One is that he's driving it so far, and the other one is he takes so damn long on the greens, doesn't he? It's just painful.
I don't know. I think maybe take less time because they rather than spend ages staring at that, they'll just use their judgment, which is how it should be. You know, green reading, surely a skill involved in it. Don't get me started on that. Would be
okay
or not? Yeah.
Okay. Right. So those are the four you fancy. Let's get your views on some of the other fancy contenders. We've got the reason why you don't like Bryson DeChambeau. What about Dustin Johnson? I mean, as we said, really good comeback. He's never really been someone that I've associated with Augusta success down the years. Is that fair to say?
Well, he's got solid Masters figures. They're 6-4, 10-2 from his last four visits. So he was second last
pretty
year.
Pretty good then.
There was three players tied for second last year. I fancied him just before he fell down the stairs and had to withdraw a couple of years ago. Now, I've got more respect for Dustin Johnson this week than DeChambeau. I mean, he is the world number one, Dustin Johnson. We should be talking about him. And I thought COVID must have blown his chances. I thought, that's his preparation ruined. But what he did last week was impressive. Has he got it all back to his sort of tour championship form? I don't know. I mean, you're a horse racing man, Bruce. You love your horses. I mean, the bounce factor, you know, he's had his layoff. He's come back. He's impressed. You like the bounce factor?
No, I don't think that really applies. I don't quite understand it on horses, so I certainly don't think it applies to golfers, mate.
I think it's something about you come back from a long layoff and you're really impressive in your first one, and then you flop next time out. I don't know. Dustin Johnson's hard to get away from. But I just prefer Rory and Thomas at slightly bigger prices.
Okay, Big Johnny Rahm
has never won a major. You know, it's a big psychological hurdle, isn't it, to win your first major? The people around him in the betting have won majors. Got to respect John Rahm. Fantastic post-lockdown form. But you know, he's going to have to get the job done in his first major. And last time out in the Zozo, he had the Zozo. I was on him for the Zozo last time out. 7 holes to play. He's on the winning score. And he made back-to-back bogeys from there. And then on the par 5, 16th, he took an iron off the tee when he was, needed to make up ground. I don't know what he was thinking. He made a birdie on the hole, but, you know, very odd decision. So, yeah, the last 7 holes of the Zozo put me off John Rahm.
Is his temperament all right? I mean, he can be a little bit volcanic at times, can't he?
Well, he's winning on difficult golf courses now, isn't he? So, you know, that win at Murfield Village was impressive. The win in the BMW, because he was, you know, he got a shot. Dropped a shot there for picking up his ball on the green, didn't he? Yeah, he seems to be overcoming adversity better. And I wouldn't rule him out at all this week. Obviously, he has to be on the shortlist, has to be respected, but he hasn't won a major and the players around him have.
Okay, what about Xander Schauffele?
Xander Schauffele has become the nearly man of golf now, hasn't he? I mean, he's finished second 6 times since his last win, as well as third, a couple of times as well, I think. So Xander Schauffele is just becoming the bridesmaid, never the bride. Really solid major record, but hasn't won one. So yeah, I think he'd go close, but you know, I think these Sunday failures are in his head now. And I think on the biggest stage of the year, no Open Championship, this is the big one, isn't it?
Okay, Brooks Koepka. There was a time when Brooks was doing what we kind of fear Bryson DeChambeau might do, and that's just win every time he tees it up at a major. But he's lost his form a bit, but there's signs of a comeback. He's 16-1. Is that value?
It's a fair price, isn't it? I mean, I found him very annoying last week because, yeah, the whittling down of the shortlist was going well. You know, you rule out Dustin Johnson because COVID's ruined his preparations. He comes back with 3 great rounds. Brooks Koepka has been rubbish all year, you know, form and fitness concerns. And then he closes with a pair of 65s on the weekend to finish 5th. And, you know, he has to be considered again. But I just think his overall consistency lately is not enough to trust him for this. I'd love to see Koepka in a 3-ball with DeChambeau and Johnson. You know, I haven't seen the tee times yet. You know, the tee times will have a role to play. Koepka and DeChambeau have these regular spats. Johnson and Koepka, it's a myth that they're friends because they went to the same gym. They are supposedly best buddies. But, the reports have come out of arguments at the Ryder Cup. And I think it'd be lovely to stick all those 3 together in a 3-ball and then they'd all implode.
Would they do that, do you think? Or do you think they might marry up more kind of calmer folk? Or could Rory get himself caught up with in a 3-ball with 2 of the warring big guns and that scupper his chances?
We shall have to see how they come out of the supposed hat, but I suppose they don't want anything to cause any drama at Augusta. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, that was just my fantasy talk there. Fantasy talk.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, I put out a request for some questions on Twitter. We've had a superb response. I'm getting old, so I've got to put the bins on. Okay, then Steve, we'll rattle through as many of these as we can. Let's have a look. First of all, how important, Paul Johnston says, how important is drawing the ball in the Masters and which of the debutants have that ability? Just tell us about, because basically Bubba's obviously won a couple of Masters, hasn't he? You've got to be able to basically hit it right to left, don't you? Is that the predominant shape?
Absolutely. Yeah. Right-handed draw is the favoured shot shape for many holes at Augusta. Yeah, you've had Bubba Watson won twice there. Phil Mickelson's won 3 times. Even Mike Weir won there. So the left-handed fade is even more effective because they can control it better. But it's just like the icing on the cake. Yeah, I wouldn't put people off ruling out faders, but it's the icing on the cake if your man is a natural drawer of the ball.
So who are the good drawers then?
Well, Rory McIlroy is the best in the business, but your chaps asked about debutants there. Cameron Champ, it's a lovely natural draw. A lot of Champ's drives are just dead straight, frozen rope, low, you know, straight down the middle, but his natural shot shape is a slight draw. And then Jason Cockcracks, it's a more pronounced draw. So, in terms of debutants who can make an impression with that shot shape, Champ and Cockcracks.
Okay, David says, can we rely on course form for an Autumn Masters, or do we need a different strategy? What have you kind of gleaned from reading the news wires and the quotes? Are they saying it's playing roughly the same, or is it a completely different kettle of fish?
Well, now we've got this temperature situation where the temperatures are exactly the same as they'd be in April, then that's not a factor. The only factor apparently is that there's a lot more Bermuda grass on the fairways and around the greens than they're expecting. Rory McIlroy is saying the chipping's going to be trickier around the greens because there's a little bit more fluff there. I think we have to respect course form. Obviously, respect course form. It's not going to be massively different. But yeah, I've got a sneaky feeling some of the debutants, more because of the atmosphere of this tournament, the debutants to do better. It's always, a very daunting experience for a debutant normally, but there's no spectators and low key, not a lot of daylight. I mean, you can play in the dark. So I think you've got to consider some debutants this week, and I'd recommend my two.
Well, talking of debutants, so someone's asked how you assess Morikawa and Wolf on their Augusta debuts.
Yeah. I respect them both. I think Morikawa, if he gets a fast run in April Masters, his iron play is arguably the best in the business already. So I think Morikawa will win a Masters one day, but I think the soggy conditions are not ideal for him this week. Matt Wolf, he'll love destroying those par fives. But he's been a little bit in and out since the US Open. So respect them both, but not backing either.
Okay, Otters has been in touch. He wants to know various things, including the winning score. It's a par 70, isn't it? I think I saw somewhere
72.
Oh, so 72, is it? Yeah, okay. So what might we be looking at winning score-wise, do you think, Steve?
Great question. It's if they're not playing in that rain, I mean, if it's thunder, then they'll be off, won't they? But if they're playing in the rain, then it's a handicap. I just think the fact it's soft and windless means it's set up for birdies. I think 10, 12 under par.
10 or 12 under, okay.
Justin Thomas would get the double figures, yeah.
Righto. Thomas Brown says, is there any value in backing Tiger to retain the green jacket? What price is Tiger, Steve?
He's drifting. He's 40-1, is he out to? No, I don't know. I mean, he would have had to have one heck of a fortnight on the practice ground because he had nothing. He had nothing at the Zozo. He's... Looked slightly fitter, but wasn't, his game was in terrible shape. So I can't see it, but I'd love to be wrong. Sorry about the noise. You picking up any noise? I've got a few workmen outside the...
That's all fine, mate. No, they're all good. Pete Selby says, how far will Big Daddy Bryson win by? I can answer that. 6 shots. And he also wants to know what your views are on the new white chocolate orange. Are you a chocolate orange fan, Steve?
I love a chocolate. I didn't know there was a white one.
Yeah, there is. I've sampled it. It is absolutely different.
Have you? Yeah. Well, I'll get some of them when Rory wins on Sunday.
John Wright says he thinks Van Rooyen could be a bit of value on the top debutant. What do you think of Eric Van Rooyen's chances? Hits it a long way, doesn't he?
Yeah, and has played surprisingly well in majors. He doesn't seem daunted by major competition. But obviously, I prefer Cameron Champ and Jason Cochrane in that market.
Okay. Type 1 Travel says, what does Steve make of stats like 7 of the last 10 winners haven't played the week before? Are they helpful or red herrings? It's an interesting question, this. Are you a trends man or not particularly?
Well, you've got to dig a little bit deeper, haven't you? I mean, for that stat there, how many players were playing the week before? I mean, hardly anyone. I think it was about 30-odd last week playing in the Houston before this. So, yeah, most players take the week off before a major. So, there's more than meets the eye to these stats, isn't there?
Okay, Martin O'Keefe says, Abraham Answer, what's your take on his chances?
Doesn't hit it very far. Abraham Answer, I put in the same bracket as Tyrrell Hatton. I know you're on Tyrrell Hatton this week, Bruce. I think I want players with a bit more punch off the tee. Those two don't fit into that category, I'm afraid.
Righty-ho, Norville Rogers says, can the German cyborg, I presume he means Bernhard Langer, take out on Mickelson over 72 holes for top senior? Looks great value to me.
Oh, I love it. I love Norville's approach there. I mean, Bernhard just got the engine of a 23-year-old, didn't he? I think he's 63 now. I could see that happening because Mickelson could spray it everywhere. Mickelson's been rubbish on the PGA Tour. He's been amazing on the Champions Tour, but rubbish on the PGA Tour. Feasible, mate. Feasible, Norville.
Okay. And finally, Steve says, give us an each-way patent for all those side markets. Top this, top that, top the other.
Okay, yeah, I'll give you Hideki Matsuyama for top Asian. Very weak section. He was second in Houston last week. Can normally be relied upon for accurate iron play. So I think Hideki will be a winning favourite for top Asian. Paul Casey, I like in top Englishman. don't fancy any of the other Englishmen. Casey loves the Masters, he's got a good solid record there. And then as a real sort of outsider, the outsider of the party in top amateur is Abel Gallegos, an Argentinian fella who's being completely dismissed in that market. I like the look of him. He looks like a young Angel Cabrera to me. And, you know, Cabrera's a former Masters champion. So I think the top amateur market won't take much winning. And I think you can take a chance on the young Argentinian blaster there.
Brilliant. Now, Steve, just a quick one on TV, because one of the big annoyances with Augusta has always been they limit the amount of TV coverage. I mean, we've got international football this week, which is just boring. We want to see as much golf as possible. So will they be doing the old featured groups again? Can we gorge on 4 days of non-stop Augusta action?
Yes, I think is the answer. 12:30 p.m. Sky Sports Golf, Sky Sports main event as well, I think. The action starts. And the action will be on for most of the day. I think the weekend I'm not so sure about, but certainly at 12:30 p.m. on Thursday, providing the Mr. Thunder doesn't come and ruin our fun, we can gorge.
And have you cleared the domestic decks so you can just sit and watch, or have you got autumn fates to go to and other stuff?
No, we're in lockdown, fortunately, aren't we?
Yeah,
it's good time in that respect. Yeah, there's nothing to do. You're just going to sit in and watch golf. And yeah, my two kids are getting into golf now, so it's only the wife that won't want to watch the golf. You know, my little Tommy likes smashing his clubs around and breaking windows. I have real golf balls in the lounge.
That's ridiculous. Why?
Just because he's got to learn the feel of a real golf ball on club face. So,
he's actually smashing real golf balls around the lounge.
Yeah. Yeah, patio windows are quite strong, but I think once they do pop the first time, that'll probably be the end of that party. But it's important. It's more important than those patio windows, isn't it, to develop him as a golfer. He's only 1 year old. And he's coming on really strong. He loves it. He gets really angry if you take his clubs away. So, yeah, I'm hoping to get all the kids in the lounge watching the golf. And maybe Nicola might fancy it as well. You never know.
Okay, that's all we've got time for this week. Before we go, though, a big shout-out for the video that Steve and I did with Seb Carmichael Brown last week at beautiful Hadley Wood. Had a lot of fun up there. If you go onto the Racing Post YouTube channel, you can see just how hideous my swing is. But there's also some great Masters chat on that. And we're back every week from now on. So do please join us next week for another Sweet Spot. We will be looking back on the Masters, hopefully a successful one. And we're looking ahead also to the Joburg Open and the RSM Classic. As we always say on these shows, please do bet responsibly. There's a lot going on. It's very easy to get carried away. Bet successfully, bet within your means. Have a fantastic Masters week, and we hope you can join us next week for another Sweet Spot.